in our minds. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the breath in our lungs. We thank you for the strength in our bodies. We thank you so much for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for salvation and hope and joy. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you so much, God, that we can come into your presence, that we can worship you together as your body, that we can find the joy and the peace that's in you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would minister to our hearts and minds as we minister to you in song. And we ask that your Spirit would be present and powerful in our midst during worship, during the word, during our giving, during every part of our time together this morning. May you be glorified in it all. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let's worship.
Oh, broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are. See you.
Take a moment right now. Before we do anything further, let's just take a moment and verbally express our gratitude for His goodness. 51 years ago, I met Him in a little church in New London, and He's been faithful every day for 51 years. Lord, we say thank You. We say thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your great mercy and kindness. You're true to Your word, Your promises, they don't fail. Hallelujah. And even when it seems at times that You've, God, You're nowhere to be found, You're nearby. We say thank You. You're faithful. Remain standing with me for just a moment. If you followed the events in the Middle East, you know that Israel received a heavy attack from Iran. Yesterday, last night, the report that I received this morning, at least one that I saw, I have not verified it, was that none of the drone attacks hit targets. They were all intercepted by the Iron Dome. And, I haven't verified that yet, so just please be aware of that. But let's pray for Israel today. Your word instructs us to pray for Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. The apple of Your eye. Boy, if there's been a nation that has been attacked and maligned, and even our U.S. government is trying to disconnect from supporting them. United Nations disconnecting. But You won't, because You are faithful. And You will protect, and You will strengthen them. Regardless of what power comes against them, because they're coming against the great I Am. There is no one greater. Your word tells us, Lord, time and time again, You have protected Your people in ridiculous and crazy and supernatural and amazing ways, and You'll do it again. Protect them, we pray. Guide them. Help them to handle things appropriately. We pray, but in the mighty name of Jesus, protect the people of Israel today. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Continue to pray for Israel, just as we're instructed to do. Amen. Go ahead and be seated for a minute. Amen. Thank you, worship band. We're missing Butch's away for the weekend, and one of our little AG, sister AG churches, said, could you spare Brian? We have no one. And so we sent Brian over to minister to one of our sister AG churches because they had no one, so we wanted to just bless them. So anyway, so special thanks to our worship team, although smaller today, still powerful and effective. Amen? Amen. So hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. And so let me just, I felt to do this with you today. Earlier this week, this verse of scripture really struck me. And I've read it who knows how many times, but I saw it a little differently. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And always pray and never
give up.
And never
give up.
So, this is what the Lord told me to do with you today for a moment. If you read the rest, Jesus goes on and he tells a parable, a little story about an unjust judge and a widow who came to him, came to this seeking justice. This is not about preaching. Adam's got a great message he's going to preach, but this, the simple point is this. Jesus used a parable to illustrate that if a widow, through her persistence, could gain the answer that she needed from a corrupt judge who didn't want to help her, how much more so could we receive from the Father God who delights in blessing us? Amen? How much more? He used that to illustrate that. And this is what the Lord told me to do with you today. Some of you in this room have been financially passed over, not received the promotion that you legitimately should have had. Some of you have had money stolen from you. Some of you have been swindled. Some of you have had people borrow money from you with a promise to return it and they never returned it. Some of you have lost huge sums of money because of things that maybe were out of your control. You weren't foolish, you weren't stupid, but things happened. You weren't being, greedy, but things happened. Unjust things happen to you. This is what the Lord wants me to do. He's the just judge. And he wants me to pray with you today that everything that's been stolen from you, taken from you, never returned to you, is returned. Amen. Did you hear that? There was a lot of coughing going on, but did you hear it?
Yes.
This is what I need. Again, I'm going to pray in case you missed it. We're going to pray that all of you that are here today that have had some sort of inequity in your life in the past, that money's been taken from you in some way. Again, if you lost a whole bunch of money at the casino, that's on you. You blew your money on the lottery, that's on you. That's not God's problem. I'm not praying for you if you did that. I'm being funny, but I'm telling you the truth. But if you lost finances in some other way, I'm going to pray that God restores you because he told me to do this for you. You with me on that? I'm not going to ask you what it is. It's not important. But if you're here today and somewhere in the past something happened to you that was unjust or was just not right and it cost you financially, it was a business deal that you got the shaft on that, whatever it was, I don't care what it was, just as long as it wasn't foolishness and stupidity. Maybe even it was, God's merciful. I want you right where you are. I want you to stand with me. I'm not going to ask you what your deal is. We're just going to pray. It's going to take a little humility for you to stand and do that, but do it right now. Okay? A bunch of you standing. You're standing before the Lord. I'm not keeping a record of who's standing. Do you believe that God can return this to you? Maybe you didn't hear me. Do you believe that God can return this to you?
Yes.
He can. Will you agree with me in prayer for this?
Yes.
I'm not asking you to go do something as a result of this. I'm not asking you to go do something unless the Lord tells you to do something. If somebody owes you money and they haven't paid you in a number of years, I'm not asking you to call them up after the service and ping on them. Let the Lord do that. And watch what he does. And when he does, the two things you're going to do are, number one, give him glory, and number two, tell me so I can rejoice. Amen? Amen? Some of you, I know your stories. Some of you, I don't. Let's pray together. Well, you know what? Why don't we do this? All of you that are seated, why don't you stand as a sign of standing with your friends, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. Maybe that didn't happen to you. You can be thankful for that. But let's pray together. For, you know what? Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I do what you tell me to do. You told me to do this today. And God, some of us have been mistreated, as it were, by an unjust judge or unjust person or unjust situation. Something, God, that maybe was totally out of our control. Or God, something that was, God, that was corrupt or distorted or deceptive. And God, something that, God, that was just not right. And we come to you, God. We come to you, the righteous judge. We come to you, the God who delights in responding to us. And we are persistent. And we ask you, Lord, we agree together that that which was stolen be returned. And God, I'm not asking for only the principal. I'm asking for interest. I'm asking for double in some cases, triple in others, that it be returned. And I want to see it begin to return this week, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. God, I pray that you cause things that are being held up. Lord, I've got stuff in my own life held up from years ago. God, I pray in Jesus' name, all those things move to the top. Supernaturally, deal with people. God, be relentless with them until they respond and give back what they took. We pray for supernatural response right now. I pray this according to the leading of your spirit and the authority of the name of Jesus. And I expect an answer for your glory and for your honor and for the benefit of your people. Thank you, Lord. If you're in agreement with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to say, a couple of you are going to be standing up again here in just a moment, but let me do this quickly with you. Hey, Seaport looks great, but it didn't just happen. A whole bunch of you came yesterday and worked very, very hard under the leadership of one of our deacons, Ed Deline. How many of you, if you came yesterday and helped put out mulch and do all the other stuff that you guys did? I was doing a funeral up near Boston and for a missionary that this church used to support. That's where I was yesterday. And if you were here, would you just stand up so we can applaud for you and just say thank you for that? All of you that helped yesterday, thank you for that. Thank you for coming and doing that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Now, here's another group I just want you to see. Next week's attendance is going to be low here. Why? Because 40 men are going to the encounter. 40. That's probably one of the biggest. If you're going to the encounter, stand up. I'm going to pray briefly for you. This week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the leadership team of the encounter will pray and fast for 3 days for you. At the end of today's service, there will be a brief encounter meeting. It will happen right here, right after the service. Lord, I pray for the 40 leaders, 40 participants that are going on the encounter. Lord, we know it's going to be amazing. It's going to be life-transforming. It's going to, God, it's just going to be, in some situations, miraculous. And we're grateful for the work that you're going to do in the hearts and lives of men.
Yes.
And as a result, their marriages, their families, and all the rest that makes up their lives. We trust you in Jesus' name for all this. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Amen. God bless you guys. We're trusting God for great things. Chris, come on. Woo.
Well, good morning, church. What an awesome day to be here. And if this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you. And we do that around here by honoring you by clapping for you. So, welcome. But of course, we don't want to just clap for you, right? We're a family. We want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way for us to do that is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A small link will come back to you. It only takes about 20 seconds or so to fill it out. And then once you do, just like that, shabam, we are connected. We're also available on Facebook, on Instagram. We even have a TikTok page. And if you want to email the office staff, it's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And we also have this awesome thing called the Church Center app. So make sure you guys download that. You can get that by hitting the QR code that's on the back of the seat back in front of you. It'll take you to a landing page where you can get all these awesome opportunities that we have coming up. And so if this is your first time here, or if you're new to the church, we have a newcomer's reception today. And so we just want to invite you to this newcomer's reception. And in a few minutes, we'll dismiss you. There's some light refreshments over in our fireplace room. And Pastor Brad will be in there to share more about Seaport and all the things and all the awesome opportunities that we have going on here. So I hope that you can join us for that. And then if you guys didn't notice, there's one of these flyers on, you know, kind of all the different seats, right? This is the month of the military child. And so we have these flyers. They're not just here as cool decorations. Really take this thing home, put it in your Bible, put it on your fridge. It's an awesome opportunity with some prayer points on it to really pray and press in to the military kids that are here in the area so that we can be praying for them. I mean, think about how awesome it is if you just put it on your fridge every time you open it up to get something, just say a quick prayer for those military children. And because we are a praying church, we think that prayer changes everything. We have all kinds of opportunities for you to join us in prayer, right? It doesn't matter if you're a morning person, if you're an evening person, you want to be online, in person. There's all kinds of opportunities, so make sure you're jumping in to one of these awesome prayer meetings that we have. Men, we are meeting on Tuesday this week, so make sure you guys are coming here for that. Right, we're praying and fasting for the men's encounter, so what an awesome opportunity for you guys to be involved in that. And then on Wednesday, we're having our growth track session 2 is starting on, or it already started, it'll be session 2 this week, so make sure you guys join us for that. And then guess what, on Sunday, May 5th, we're having the blessing of the bikes. It's going to be an awesome opportunity, so make sure you guys are here for that. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited to be there also. And then men, obviously Pastor Brad said this already, there's going to be a brief meeting after service for all the men going to encounter. So next up, Pastor Brad.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Gifty, come join me. Our own Gifty Abishai. We're going to talk a little bit about Ghana. And you can tell that she's from Africa. Anyway, so Dr. Gifty Abishai, very simply, had a vision in her heart to go back to the country, her country, Ghana, West Africa, and minister to children. It's been in her heart a long time. But it was in this church that God really helped that vision go forward. And the church got behind it. Here's the quick background. The church got behind it. And last February, a year ago, we conducted the first series of medical clinics. And then she's just returned from the second series of medical clinics that we're doing over there. Seaport is the primary supporter, almost the exclusive supporter of what's happening there. There are other people, and there's one other church, but we're the ones that are primarily behind it at this point. But I want her, we're not even, it's a big story. We're going to give you another update maybe in a couple of weeks. But Gifty, it's great to have you back. I know this one is very challenged. But tell us, for those of us that don't know, what is it that you're really trying to do at those medical clinics? Yeah. And you did a bunch of them this time.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Brad, and thank you, Church, for your support. It was awesome. So this March, we had 14 clinics in 14 different communities, and we had the clinics where we registered children for national health insurance. We registered 4,222 children. During these clinics, we screened people.
Okay, hang on. You need to hear this part. Go ahead.
We screen people for hypertension and diabetes and other conditions like hepatitis B. We had to send 4 people to the clinic because they were in the middle of a crisis. We screened 806 adults. We also...
Now, please understand something here. Those things you just talked about, hypertension, blood pressure, all those sorts of things, those are a significant problem there in that country with the people there. We hear them and go, well, really? It's a significant problem there. And so that's why they're screening. But there was something else that you guys did, like with clothes too, wasn't there?
Yes, we distributed clothes and shoes. We actually, on Palm Sunday, went to the maternity ward in one of the major hospitals, and we were able to show the love of Christ. We distributed clothes to the mothers and children and some refreshment, and it was such a blessing to the people.
So you screened a lot of people, and that was great. But did anybody meet Jesus?
Oh, yes. So the gospel was preached to thousands of people in all these locations. 596 people received Christ during this clinic. It was such an amazing story.
596. Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
And also, we registered 386 vulnerable adults, and this was such a blessing to not just one person, but to a whole family.
So, just so, again, if you're not tracking with us or you're new today, one of the primary things we're doing over there is we are registering children primarily, and sometimes adults, for the national health insurance that Ghana provides, which is available to them for $1 American, but they can't afford it, they can't get access to it. So we're taking that to them, bringing in the government officials to help do all the processing. And so it's an amazing experience. For the people that's there, to us, we're just kind of like, okay, whatever. It's life and death for many of them. Now, when you say vulnerable adults, what are you talking about?
So the vulnerable adults comprises of these children or adults who are fleeing the north from Muslims and fleeing child marriages. So,
okay, please, I want you to understand something. Northern Ghana is primarily Muslim. Okay, so that is, and they're fleeing. Say that again. They're fleeing. What for? What reason?
They are fleeing the Islamic incursion in the north and also from child marriages. So they come to the south to work as head porters. Forgive me, that makes me teary, but
they come
to the south as head porters. They sleep on the streets.
And how old are these?
Some are 15, 14, and they are on their own in the south, fending for themselves. Just they act as head porters. I don't know if you see those pictures, but they just carry pants and walk in the streets. But praise God, thanks for your generosity. We were able to register some of them. We were able to, provide screening for them. We had to take a couple of them to the hospital because they had been raped and they were having babies. And at tender ages, they just couldn't survive without cesarean operation. So thank God for your generosity again. You impacted so many lives.
It's really amazing. It's really amazing that's happening. And again, we're hoping to bring you also a quick report from was it the doctor who actually did the surgery on Kingsley?
Yes. So praise God, Kingsley, the boy who had the surgery, is completely healed. We did the final surgery to close up the ostomy.
So let me say this: Kingsley was 2 years of age when he drank caustic liquid. And we don't have the time to tell you how he got caustic liquid, but it's primarily due to the micro businesses that they're urging these mothers to be involved in creating soap. And of course, soap is made with lye, and that's a caustic liquid, and kids drink this. And he was not able to eat for what was it, seven years?
7 years, because he's 10 now. Yeah.
And he was fed through a feeding tube, and your finances helped us to get him the surgery. And they had to check that out. So what's happened when you went back was that everything, he's all clear, right?
He's all clear. And so they just had to close the ostomy completely so he doesn't have any opening on his belly. And he's feeding through the mouth. He's going to school. And praise God, Kingsley has put on weight and he's looking lovely.
And there's so much more to tell you. We don't really have the time. We'll be coming back a little later. One of the things that I want you to be aware of is that every time we do a blessing of the bikes, we receive finances for a particular charity. This year is going to be Gospel Kids, Giftees organization. And whatever comes into the blessing of the bikes is going to go in its entirety to this organization. And just to further this. And so Gifty, is there anything else you want to tell us about this? And, you know, I mean, it's just an amazing journey that we're on here, and we're going to continue. Just my goal is to help her get her organization up to 501c3 status, become her own self-sufficient organization.
Yeah.
That's my goal, and we're going to launch her into that. But anything further you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I just want to say thank you to all of you and just want you to know it's ongoing. So at the moment, we have collaboration with missionaries, local missionaries in Ghana, and we are collaborating and continually doing these outreaches and reaching out to the unreached, especially in the north. And so we thank God for your support and we ask for prayers, continued support, because there's a lot of unreached people who need to be reached for Jesus and snatch them from the incursion that is happening up there. So thank you so much.
So there's one last thing. It was 4,200. It would have been a lot more, except there was a Western Africa issue with their fiber optic cable bringing internet in. And so we all know what it's like to stare at a screen and just watch it buffer. There's nothing more maddening than that, it seems. And that's what they had to deal with. And so a process that should have taken just moments took a long time. So that slowed down the process dramatically. And so 4,200 is amazing when they had to deal with that for the entire 2 weeks. And so let's continue to pray. Join with me as we pray. Lord, thank you for Gifty. Thank you for the Gospel Kids. Thank you for the role that Seaport has been able to play in launching this. And God, we're just trusting you that, God, that there's a lot more work to be done over there. And so really, Father God, help the people that are on the ground to be strong and know what to do and stay on track. Help Gifty as she's here. Lord, give her incredible wisdom and favor. Help us to get the things in place so that this organization can grow, stand on its own feet, and Lord, just go further and accomplish all the great things that you have for it. We commit this to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Gifty. Thank you. Wow, isn't this great? Woo! Yeah, It's really amazing. It's really, really amazing all that God is doing here. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving right now. And thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being generous. And we're just trusting God. Yeah, we're running behind this year, but we're going to catch up because God's going to bless you. Amen? And as we're trusting Him. And so there's lots of ways to give. You see that on the screen. Probably the easiest way is through the Church Center app. You can use text to give. And you can go old school and write a check and put it in one of the giving boxes out there. You can do that too. And so, but thank you so much. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to release all of our youth to the fellowship hall. And there, and if you're visiting, you're a teenager, middle schooler, and you want to, or a senior higher, you can get up and go with them out these doors, off to the right, the fellowship hall. If you're brand new to Seaport, been here a week or two, or today's your first day, and you want to find out a little bit more about the church, I'll be in there, spend a few minutes with you. So here's the easiest way to go to our fireplace room. You can go right across the hall, just right this way, or you can go out this door and then down the hall. Whatever you'd like to do, we'll meet you right there, right now. Adam is going to come. We're picking back up the series today, Unstoppable, as we go through the book of Acts. And Adam is in chapter 8, and this is an amazing story. Come and tell it to us, Adam.
Good morning, church. Now, I know I have a reputation for being slightly doom and gloom, a little bit rough around the edges. But you know what? I'm feeling good this morning because I'm watching all the things that are going on around the world, and we know there's a lot of bad out there. But when I see this church getting medical care to thousands of children in Africa, when I know that we have people being baptized, new believers baptized into the body of Christ this morning, I get excited because God is still good. God is still doing great things. The kingdom is on the march, ladies and gentlemen. The world cannot stop us. And you know what? See, pragmatism is not a thing that God has ever really been concerned with. Because the least likely thing that happens, when God does accomplish it, he gets all the more glory for it. All right? We serve a God who is sovereign and who does the miraculous. So our best bet should be to follow along with whatever he says that we should do, not what we think will get the best results, not what we think is the most practical. Because if he is sovereign, and if he is good, and if he can work miracles, then we should just go along with his plan. Right? Does that seems like the most logical thing as far as I'm concerned. And we've seen already in this series God do some really great things with the impractical. We've seen Peter preach two sermons in Acts 2 and Acts 4 that people would say are impractical. He spoke to everyone in earshot of him, saying, "You murdered the Son of God by your sin and your lawless deeds." He called them all to repentance. See, people today don't like that kind of rhetoric. They find it to be offensive. They say, that is not how you get people to come to Christ. See, but I don't know why that is. Because when Peter did it, he saw thousands of people saved each time he preached that message. Oh, wait a minute. I do know why it is. On second thought, it's because God saves people, not Peter. We don't save people. God does it. And we have to believe that this is a miraculous thing. We have to believe that God still does miraculous things in bringing men who are dead in their sin to life in Christ. Those who are slaves to their sin to freedom in Christ. Taking those old sinful creations and making them new in Christ. And we have to believe that God does it. We have to believe that God does it and that we can't earn it and that there is no way for us to accomplish it. We have to believe that it is miraculous and we have to believe, I'll say it again, God does it. And if we believe that, then we'll do what God says. We will tell people about Jesus the way God tells us to tell people about Jesus. And we won't worry about the results because God's got it. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to speak it, to preach it, to tell people, to warn them. And let God do the impractical. Let God do the improbable. Let God do the impossible. Because he will. Because he's good. So this morning, we're going to see God accomplish the improbable. We're going to see God accomplish a very unlikely salvation that changes the world. We're going to see an Ethiopian man who will go from government official to church planter. Church history tells us that the Ethiopian eunuch from this story is linked and maybe even responsible for one of the oldest expressions of Christianity in the known world, the Ethiopian Coptic Church. See, God does great things in very impractical situations. So if you've got your Bibles with you, and I know you do because you've heard me tell you that you should bring them week after week, so I know you're listening to me, turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and man, I'm fired up this morning. I'm feeling good. Let's watch God do great things. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, We're going to read verse 26 through 40. The Bible says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran up to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer, he is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came upon some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went away rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So an angel comes to Philip and tells him to go into the desert. And he's going into the desert, he doesn't know it, but he's going in the desert to save one man. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that too many people are going to sign up for a missionary trip to go to some arid waste where you may or may not see anybody. But angel comes to Philip, tells him where to go, and like a good soldier, Philip goes. Now, like Stephen, who was martyred in chapter 7, Philip is one of the people who was designated to deliver meals to the widows in the church in Jerusalem. Now, after Stephen's death, the church is dispersed a little bit. It is scattered to the wind as it was. So Philip probably doesn't have as many meals to be delivering to widows at this time. So he gets this call from this angel for this other work. And he was given the role of food service because of his faithfulness, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But missionary was never on his docket. It wasn't what he was assigned to do. This is Philip being an unlikely missionary and going on a very unlikely mission. And we don't know how long he was on the road to Gaza before he comes upon the caravan that's headed back to Ethiopia with this chariot that has an Ethiopian, a Gentile, a God-fearer, he was in Jerusalem, it says, to worship at the temple, and now was returning home. And the word that they use for this man is eunuch. Now, in those days, when slaves got up to a certain rank, male slaves, when they were put in positions of higher power, maybe working with the queens or governesses of that day, they castrated them. Because, well, that made them trustworthy around the queens. It allowed them not to defile them. It gave the governors a reason not to worry so much. And it also has a tendency to make men docile and easy to control. So here he is here is this man that is working in the treasury of a queen, a promoted slave. He is a Gentile of one of the wealthiest families, trusted enough to take their chariot all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. He has a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, and he's educated enough to read it. This guy is a unicorn. Like, he is a very rare individual. But, see, he's not just rare, he's also very unlikely to be a God-fearer, just kind of the way his life has gone thus far. He's also almost guaranteed not to be accepted by the Jews of that day. Because not only is he a Gentile, but his entering of the temple would have been forbidden by the law of God because of the law that stated, "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." So this castrated slave, this eunuch, wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. He would have been ceremonially unclean according to the law of God. And Philip, he's commanded by the Spirit to run alongside this chariot. Now, this is not one of those Ben-Hur racing chariots, all right? It's a multi-man job, so it wouldn't have been going that fast. But Philip approaches it, and he hears the eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah. And then he engages with him, asks him, "Hey, do you know what you're reading?" The eunuch says, "No," brings him up into the chariot. He reads another portion, and they start talking. And Philip preaches Jesus to this man in the chariot. And I start to think to myself, could we do that? Philip is a recent convert. I mean, there's no chance he's known the Lord for any more than 3 years, really. He has no New Testament to work from, just the Old Testament scriptures. And yes, he's seen the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but has no real backup, no real doctrine to speak of. Could we still preach Jesus just from the Old Testament? Now, God helps out Philip a little bit, because really, if you're going to preach Jesus from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 is a pretty easy place to do it from, right? He gives him a layup. But still, it's hard. And so he hears this passage, and we know it as Isaiah 53. Turn there in your Bibles if you would. We know it as the passion of the Christ, the prophecy of the atoning death of the Lord's Messiah. And it should be fairly familiar to most of us, but it is a very important piece of scripture. So we're going to go through it. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he would be cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. You will scarcely find a more accurate portrayal of Jesus in the Old Testament. Maybe Psalm 22. Comes close. See, but it's not a pretty picture. This is not the picture of Jesus we're used to seeing out in the world with his long flowing locks, which he probably did not have, by the way. Jewish men did not keep their hair long back then. With his perfectly manicured hands that had never been put to any kind of work. Which is not true, because he grew up as a carpenter. This is not a pretty picture of our Messiah. It's a message. It's a picture of great violence, of sacrifice. It's a message that says you can't pay what you owe. No matter how long you have, or no matter how hard you try. It's a message that says you're wrong. You're guilty. You're wicked. It's not an easy message to preach if you're worried about people's delicate sensibilities. Pragmatism says that this message doesn't win converts. That a message like this is depressing and offensive and will not bring people to Jesus. I have a question for you. Well, if you don't know these things, if you're not wicked, if you're not guilty, if you could pay what you owe, then what would you need Jesus for anyway? You have to come to grips with this message in order to be saved. We get so caught up in wanting to tell people the good news about how God loves them that we don't actually tell them how that's possible. We don't tell them how it's possible when we have passages like these from Proverbs 6 that says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. We love this phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner, right? I want you to recognize that this verse from Proverbs is not about sin as a thing. It is about the people who commit sin. Haughty eyes, people who have lying tongues, people who have hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked plans. We've all fallen underneath one of these categories. At least one. I myself have fallen under a few. So how is it? How is it that God can love me? How is it that we can tell people that God loves them? We have to deal with the reality of these things that God hates. And we have to understand that we've committed them. And then we have to understand that God has poured out the wrath that we deserved upon Christ Jesus. It was his will to crush Jesus on our behalf. And God's will to do that takes this message of great violence, of great sacrifice, of terrible, terrible punishment, and he turns it into a message of great grace. He turns it into a message of forgiveness, of mercy, of victory, of redemption and resurrection. See, we created our grief. We created our sorrow, but Jesus bears it. We transgressed God's law, but Jesus took the punishment. We sin, but Jesus is the one crushed by God. And in return, we receive peace with God. And not only that, but we receive a righteousness that we could never earn on our own. We receive the righteousness of God. So now we are no longer enemies of God, but now when God looks at us, he loves us like sons and daughters who are actually righteous before his eyes. What a great exchange. This is why things like Good Friday can actually be good for us. And people don't understand that, but we need to come to grips with the terribleness of sin in our own lives and what it cost God in crushing his own son in order to realize how good he is to us by offering us mercy and forgiveness. It makes our worship all the more sweet when we realize how much he's given. This is so this is what Philip preaches. This is what Philip preaches to the eunuch in the chariot. Again, it's not an easy message. See, most people, even when you get alone with someone, you say, well, maybe it's easy for him to speak from this stage these kind of difficult messages. I don't want to do it necessarily one-on-one. I can get some nuance in there, and we'll hash it out. We'll have a couple of cups of coffee, and you know, by the end, I'll get to this whole you're a sinner thing, and we'll move past it. No. This is him, one-on-one. This is a stranger, right? This is someone that neither one of these people expected to see one another. They're alone in the middle of a desert road that God sent him to. Never met before. And Philip has the audacity to tell somebody that Jesus was crushed because you're such a sinner. But it works. It works. Because God moves. The Holy Spirit gets so a hold of the Ethiopian's heart that he does. He repents. And as soon as there's water on the side of the road, what does he do? Hey, look, there's a puddle. Let's go get me baptized. So I really feel like the end of Philip's message went a great deal like the end of Peter's message in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, 37 and 38. This is how I think it pretty much went in that chariot. Now, when they had heard, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Yeah. So that's probably what happened. Philip ends up, finishes preaching to the eunuch, and the eunuch says, what do I do? This man was crushed on my behalf. What do I do now? And Philip says, repent and be baptized. And he says, look, there's some water. Let's go. Baptism is a symbol of moving from death to life. It is a symbol of being washed clean of your sins. A symbol of being joined with Christ and receiving his salvation. It is my belief that every single new believer should be this excited about being baptized. Right? Because it should also accompany every command to repent and believe upon Christ. But if you're moving into a whole new life, wouldn't you want to mark that occasion? Wouldn't you want to say, I've repented, I want to be washed clean, and I want people to know that I've been washed clean. I want them to know I'm on Team Jesus. I am part of the body of Christ. I've got a whole new life ahead of me in him. That should be exciting. That should be exciting to each and every one who believes upon Jesus. It should be exciting. You want to mark that day, the day that you repented of your sins, were washed clean, and entered into the promises of God. And I believe this story is the promises of God coming true. We see this story as a fulfillment of a promise that God made in Isaiah 56. Because as I read earlier, eunuchs were not allowed into the assembly of God. But see, the thing about God is, nobody's too far gone. That God doesn't, you can't be faithful to God and have him slough you off. God does not leave believers out in the cold. He does not leave his faithful hung out to dry. We are saved by grace alone. We are saved by faith alone and in Christ alone. And so God makes this promise in Isaiah 56 for those who remain faithful to him, even if they weren't clean by the standards of the law. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is the promises of God coming true in the book of Acts. That's grace. That is grace. Shows that the blood of Christ covers our uncleanness. It covers our sin, our guilt, our shame. So won't you come out from underneath all that? Come out from underneath all that and come to him. The only one that can save you from it. The only one that can free you from it. The only one that can make you a new creation where you don't have to deal with it anymore. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit who will hold you fast to the covenant of God. See, that's the great part is you don't even have to do that. God will do it for you by his Holy Spirit will hold you fast to his covenants. And you can keep coming back to him and repenting and coming back to God. He will never turn you away. And you receive a name A name that will never be cut off. Receive a name even better than sons and daughters, it says. The forgiveness of sins, the assurance that God loves you, forgives you, and sees you now as righteous under the blood of Christ, who he gave up for you. You couldn't earn it. Aren't you thankful? Yeah. If you're thankful, then repent and be baptized. As we are going to see some who have today. And before we do that, let's stand, let's pray. Lord God, you are so good to us, so gracious to us, Lord. You are never far from us. You show us the way to go. Your Holy Spirit holds us fast to your covenant, brings us to repentance. You never turn from us, never forsake us, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for those who have professed Christ as Lord, as Savior, that you are bringing them to this baptismal this morning. God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would hold them fast, that this would be the beginning of a brand new life for them, the beginning of a great turning towards you. God, that you would be with them, that you would hold tight to them. And Lord, for those of us who have already been baptized, who have been part of this community already, help us to welcome them in, that we should sing and we should be joyous that they have joined this community of believers, that they have joined your family, that they have joined this body. We thank you for it. We thank you for them. Help them, please, to just to be a part and help us to welcome them in. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, and we'll get to it.
So I just came from newcomers. We had the largest newcomers we've had in many, many months, maybe a year. And so, yeah, thank God. Lots of great people from all over the place. Brought here by the Navy, brought here by EB. Some people just kind of reconnecting is great. It's awesome. But right now we have four people that we are going to baptize in water. And so I'm going to ask, Marie and Rob, why don't you come up here first? You guys are going to pull those covers off. And make sure, guys, you don't fall in when you're taking the covers off. And so we'll pull those off. And so they're going to, come on, Marie, Rob, come on up here and share the testimony. And then we'll have Sam and Daniel come on up here. Proud of you. Here we go. You ready? Why are you being baptized today?
Before coming here, I haven't been to church in years. My husband and I have friends that attend this church, so we thought we would try coming here.
Who are your friends?
Francis and Doug, and also I work with Butch.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, that's great. The power of friendship. There we go. Keep going. It's great.
I am happy we did. I feel my faith getting stronger, and I was baptized as a baby, but I would like to make my own decision on getting baptized and being close to the Lord, and I am finally ready to receive him today.
So, Marie, lots of people ask me about, I was baptized as a baby, you know. I say, that's great. Thank God your parents did that for you. Okay, that's what they knew to do. Thank God they did. But now that you're an adult, now that you understand it, do just like you said, make your own decision.
Yes.
So that's a great thing. Proud of you. Thank you. Wow. So this guy here, you know this guy?
Yeah.
Rob, come on over here. You're being baptized today. Tell me why.
Well, I've never been baptized, and my family was never religious. And thank God and my sisters found God, and I thank them both, Doc Black and Roberta. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today. And I asked them, my sister, not too long ago, if she could get me baptized, and she lives in Bristol, Rhode Island, and God brought me here. And
here brought I am. You here. Yeah, okay, here you are. Okay, so you're going to be baptized. Okay, so, all right. You ride motorcycles?
Yes.
We don't like bikers here.
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here. Yeah, no, we're just joking. If you think I'm serious, I'm not. Okay. All right. So I'm proud of you. Excited to see you being baptized today. Hallelujah. You ready? Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's great. All right, so stand right there. Samantha and Daniel, why don't you guys come on up here? And, yeah. Samantha, you're being baptized today.
Yes.
You're a little nervous.
I am.
It's all right.
I'm a big crier, so I'm trying not to cry.
It's okay.
I know.
It's all right. No worries. No worries. It's okay.
I also have family that's watching online because they're in California, so.
Hello.
Okay. So, one of the biggest things for me is just the healing that was done within my heart. I don't know why it's everybody's favorite thing to tell you, oh, just give it some time, you'll be fine, or build a bridge and get over it. Like, why do people say that?
Not true.
Definitely not true. It took me over 8 years to fully heal, and time didn't do that. Jesus did.
Yeah, come on. There you go.
And then just something that I thought was kind of crazy, too. So I work from home, a lot of phone call stuff. So I was on the phone with a customer 2 days ago. And at the end of the phone call, she told me, I just want to tell you that Jesus is the way. And I thought that was so crazy because in the 10 years I've worked for this company, I've never had a customer tell me that before. So I was like, how fitting that I'm getting baptized in just a few days. This lady just blessed with her phone call. I don't know. It was amazing, but yes.
It's great to have you being baptized today, Sam. That's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Daniel, come on over here. You're being baptized today. Tell us why.
Because it is written, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of water and the Spirit.
And so you're going to follow that pattern. And yes. Hallelujah. It's been great to see Daniel and Sam have been coming here for a while, but they've really stepped in lately. I'm proud of you guys. You ready?
Also, I seek the world, and it couldn't fill me. Only God can.
Yeah, you've heard some pungent preaching in just a couple of sentences right there, haven't you? Wow. So you guys are ready? All right. So here we go. You didn't turn the heater on, Mike.
I did, but it's low. I fried the.
It's cold. Just be aware, it's cold. All of you, just think I'm going into the ocean. The joke is you're gonna freeze me or fry me. Today is the freeze zone. All right, come on. All right. Sam, why don't you be first? That's great. When we're done, the last person will be a little warmer. Take your time.
Oh, it's not that.
Not too bad. Look, this is a California girl telling you it's not bad.
There you go.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready? Okay. All right. Look. Hey, just look over there and kind of wave at the family. All right. Okay. Sam, on the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it's now my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son
and of the Holy Spirit.
Congratulations, that's great. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever done what I'm about to do, but if you're here and you're saying, okay, I got to stop fooling around, I'm going to be baptized, take everything out of your pockets, come up here and I'll baptize you. If you're legit, right? I mean, it's serious in your faith, that's what I mean. All right, Daniel, come on. Yeah. Hang out, Sam, while I baptize him.
There's like 4 extra t-shirts, so you can go and change too. Or you can just buy a new one. So
it's true.
I have an extra one too.
It's great. I pause sometimes because sometimes I got to make sure if I'm hearing from the Lord that I'm hearing from the Lord. So that's why I pause sometimes like that. The sense is coming to me as you're stepping forward and stepping in. That's what's going to happen to you because you've been on the sidelines a long time, but now you're out on the playing field and you're going to begin to move quickly.
Yeah, don't be like me. It took me like 5 years. I've been coming to this church 5 years. So
it's time to make up for lost time.
Yep.
But you're stepping in. I just feel like that's now it's time to like move forward. And I think that's what's going to happen. It's my privilege now to baptize you on the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here you go. One of the reasons I go to the gym faithfully is for this. Hallelujah. All right, Marie. And you know what? Hey, Rob, why don't you come right up over here?
I'm tiny, so this won't
work. Oh, yeah, you're lightweight. Yeah, this is easy. This is easy. How long have you been married?
20 some years.
22 years?
Yeah.
Just getting started.
Yes.
46 for Debbie and I.
Congratulations.
Yeah, in September. What is it? So, seems like yesterday. But anyway, you know, I don't always do this, but Rob, I want you to come and stand right here. Come down into the tank and stand right there. Take your time. Watch the grip. Just grip on that red stuff. There you go. And right there. I don't always do this, but I just thought I should do this time. It's exciting to be on this journey with you. The two of you as you journey with Jesus, you know. You hung out in Seaport long enough to know this isn't about doing church. This isn't about being religious. It's certainly not being spiritual. It's about walking with Jesus.
Yes.
That's what it is. Growing with him. That's what it's about. Again, baptism is this. I was walking this way and decided, you know what, it's not taking me in a good direction. So as you heard, repentance turns you around, brings you back. What baptism does is this. It doesn't save you, but it shows that you have become saved. It basically means this. I once was alive to myself, but I'm dying to myself and now becoming alive for Jesus.
Yes.
That's what it means. It's a public statement. It's a public statement of a private decision. That's what it is. And so on the profession of that, Marie, okay, it is now my privilege to baptize you. In the name of God the Father who loves you, Jesus Christ who gave himself for you, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here you go. Woo! Stay right there. Take places with your husband. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is great. And you were easy.
I just lost weight, so.
You just lost weight? Thanks for doing that. I appreciate that. You don't have to lose weight to be baptized, but it does help. It's great to see you here, Rob. On the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus, it's now my privilege to baptize you. In the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, your Savior, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you, I baptize you. Woo! So everybody got one. Allie, isn't this great? All right. Anybody going to be baptized? Okay, last call. Here we go. You're going to be baptized? All right.
Nice.
All right, then come over here now. Come now. Anybody else? Okay, I'm last call because I'm not going to fool around. It's last call, so.
In jeans and everything.
Nice.
All right. Okay, not fooling around. Okay, I know you, Brian. Okay, so, all right. There's always one the pastor has to hold down. I'm kidding.
No, he's not.
You're being baptized.
Yes.
Why?
A fresh start with Encounter coming up, and okay. I was just selected to be a commander, so
baptism.
A fresh start in my life.
Okay. Let me baptize you. Okay. It's not always necessary to do that. If you've been baptized, you don't have to be baptized 15 times, unless you can't ever get it right, I guess. But you know, baptism is designed to be a one-time event, although people are multiple times baptized several times, and there's nothing really wrong with that, but it's just, you know what, it's designed to be that line of demarcation in our lives. I was going that way, I'm no longer going that way, and I want you to know. So that's what you've done. You're letting everybody know, okay? Things are different, right?
Yep.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Profession of your faith and your desire to follow the Lord, I now baptize you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here you go. All right. Come on. Are you going to be baptized? All right. I don't even know you. So, okay, come on. All right. This is highly unusual. Like, first time in 35 years. Okay. Like, first time in 30 days. Okay. All right. Take your time. Do not hurry. Take your time. Okay, there you go.
That's not too bad.
Who are you?
I'm Allie Grojohn.
Oh, now I know you. It took me a minute. I didn't recognize you. Now I know you. Of course I know you. Allie, okay. You're being baptized today. Yes. Why?
Because I've been convicted to.
You've been convicted to. Good for you. That's a good thing. Sometimes there's reasons. Sometimes there's reasons we wait, we're hesitant, don't have the opportunity. And so when you know me, gang, 35 years, I've never done what I'm doing right now, ever. But just today, I felt like I was supposed to do this. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure? Well, obviously he was. So, Allie, on the profession of your faith, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's now my privilege to baptize you. You ready for this? Okay. So I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who loves you, Jesus Christ who gave himself for you, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you. Here you go. Good for you. Thank you. I don't see anybody else, so I think we're going to call it a wrap. But, all right, why don't you stand? We're going to sing, all right? Woo!
Oh, where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move.
So let's do it. Let's go where he tells us to go. Follow the way he wants us to follow. Let us go. Thank you, God, for those who have given their lives to you this morning, those that were scheduled to and those that weren't scheduled to. God, you do the miraculous. God, we thank you for your miracle working power. We thank you that you are always with us, that you hold us fast to your covenants, God, that your Holy Spirit never leaves us. So in that knowledge, God, we go in your grace and your favor to feast with one another, to take joy in your creation and your body. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Sunday.